Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Crickets to Cha-Chings podcast. I'm Julie Berninger of Gold City Ventures, and I'm here with my co-host, Sasha Hutchison. She's the head coach in our new community, Beyond. Welcome, Sasha.
Hi.
And also, we have a special guest with us here today. We have Etsy seller and shop owner, Kennedy. Welcome, Kennedy.
Hi.
Kennedy, can you introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah, so my name is Kennedy Heintz. I am a small business owner. I live in Northwest Ohio, and I started my shop a few years ago, and now I'm branching out of Etsy, but my shop sells eco-friendly crochet kits and patterns, and we also offer crochet tutorials, so that's what I focus on.
Well, welcome back, and we had Kennedy a few episodes back talking about specifically how she could grow her business on Etsy. But now is the discussion where we're talking about growing off Etsy. And Sasha has been co-hosting with me the last couple episodes, but if you missed those, Sasha, can you give everyone a quick sentence about you?
Yes, my name is Sasha Hutchison, and I am a top 1% seller on Etsy. I sell exclusively digital products, but I do have a passion for crafting and creating, and I love helping other people level up their own businesses by coaching, having courses and templates. And I am so happy to talk to Kennedy about the little mini empire she's grown with her cute crochet stuff.
Yes, they're so adorable. Okay, so there's so many different directions that we could take this discussion, but I want to start in a specific place first, because selfishly, Kennedy was one of the four people that we gave early access to our new program Beyond, where we're telling you how you can take a business that's on Etsy and start to drive customers and own your own email list and develop additional income streams off of Etsy, whether it's blogging, your own e-com site, other places. So Kennedy and I chatted about the Etsy side. We're going to talk about the Beyond side today. But specifically, I want to ask her about some feedback on a competitor analysis section that we created. And specifically, we have three templates that we take people in the program through. One is creating your own visual brand. One is doing analysis on Meta, which is Instagram and Facebook. And the other one is doing analysis on TikTok. Now, Kennedy didn't get the full experience because we actually pre-filled the templates for her situation, which thank you, Kennedy, for letting us use you as the example there. But we were just testing to see how it works. But I'm just curious how those went for you and some of the insights that you learned. If you have any questions on it, if that was new to you, like let's dive into that. Because I think for people listening, maybe they haven't done a competitor analysis on those platforms or don't know why they should.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those worksheets and those exercises because they were so much more detailed than any other process I've seen for how to do that. I've always learned and known that I'm supposed to, you know, look at the market and look at my competitors and sort of take guidance from them to see what do our customers enjoy and those types of things. But these worksheets really break down for you noticing those things, exactly what you're supposed to be looking at, like the post type, how much engagement it has, all these types of things. And then actually writing those things down instead of just like looking at someone else's Instagram page and being like, oh, cool, they have all these followers, but I don't really know how to get there, you know? So I found that extremely helpful to have it like perfectly laid out as a roadmap for how to dive into that research.
And thank you for saying that. And so someone else that we interviewed here, they told me that they didn't do them because we accidentally labeled them as social media analysis. Mm-hmm. But then Sasha and I really wanted to make it clear that you don't have to ultimately go to the step of posting on social media, just using social media as a tool to better understand your customer, better understand your competitors, better understand what topics and keywords people are searching for. That's a really critical tool. So whether or not you want to do social media, don't skip these. So I literally labeled the lesson, don't skip these exclamation point, because too many people were skipping them because they don't want to do social media. Yeah. So now we fixed that part, but I'm so glad. And, you know, I want to kick this off by discussing the I think it's the Woobles, who are, I would say, your number one competitor. They're like the luxury cruise line in this particular niche. And for anyone that doesn't know who the Woobles are, like, can you give a quick kind of summary of them?
Yeah, so the Woobles is a crochet kit company that's focused solely on teaching beginners how to crochet. So their kits are designed for if you've never crocheted before, you can use their kit to learn how to crochet and make a cute little simple stuffed animal. And I've been following them for a long time, like just on Etsy, seeing other people who sell crochet kits. And then at some point in the last few years, they went on Shark Tank and they really blew up, which is super exciting. And it was really, it's really inspiring to see, you know, that someone who sells the exact same thing as you or something really similar can have so much success. So on one hand, I'm really excited for them. On the other hand, I'm like, how do I do that also without going on Shark Tank, though? So, yeah, they're a pretty cool company.
I know when I first emailed you about them, you weren't as hopeful in your original response. You were like, yeah, they're a huge company. But I just see so much potential. You know, not your goal is to become the Woobles, but it's just they're hyper-niched into very colorful, cutesy, almost like kid stuff. Whereas when I look at your products, they appeal more to me. I'm 35 years old. Like, I don't want to do, while the little dinosaur, I see the crochet thing, I'm buying that for my kids. Like, I want something more sophisticated when I'm learning how to do this tool for myself. That's why I loved them. I thought they were more elegant and like more mature and sophisticated. And definitely, when even for us in the digital product space, when we're making a printable set for that 30, 40, 50 level female, we typically don't do the super cutesy stuff unless we're doing like kids or seasonal or like something for teaching resources.
Yeah.
We tend to go like more elegant, modern, up level. So I feel like you offer something very different. And while they seem like a competitor of yours, and they are, probably are, I don't think you directly compete in your actual product line because they're just kind of like serving a little bit of different focus. So I don't know, Sasha, were you familiar with the Woobles? Do you know what we're talking about?
Well, I had clicked on that or searched it the other day, and now I see ads for them all the time. So I'm intimately familiar with their offerings. And yeah, I can see how it's appealing to maybe someone. The way I looked at it was, if my 9-year-old daughter was interested in learning how to crochet, you could buy her the little kit and she'd do it. But then it'd be like, what's next, you know? And she herself is not drawn as much to the bright, bold colors. Even in rainbow, she gravitates towards the boho pastel kind of color palette of rainbow. So I think that it would definitely be something that someone might buy a kid, they learn, and then they kind of just maybe don't care about it anymore. And they're like, what's next? You know, I don't know. I didn't buy any of their subscriptions or their products or anything. But that was just my impression because my daughter's uncle, he bought her a crochet kit for Christmas like 2 years ago when she was not old enough to do that. And she had me crochet her a hat. But then she was like, it was really bright, bold colors. She was like, I want to go pick something out. And then she gravitated toward it. She got this purple boho color palette yarn. So I think there's definitely opportunity. And your stuff is really cute. Like, you have a little Bailey the Bumblebee crochet pattern. And they actually, she actually bought at a craft fair a doll that looks just like that.
Aw, cute.
I knew she was like, I want to make a little one, you know, and have baby bees. And so I think that what you're doing is very appealing.
Yeah, and women, Julie, and I appreciate that. And Julie, I really liked what you said in your email where you were like, I know it's, like, on one hand, I'm excited for them as a company, but on the other hand, it's overwhelming to feel like you're so far behind or something what someone else is doing. But your point was, if they're a huge popular company and a ton of people know their name, that just means there's a ton of people out there who are interested in buying a crochet kit or learning how to crochet. So them drumming up interest is also works in my benefit because, like you've been saying, we're not directly competing. We're not selling the exact same things. We're not selling the same materials. We're not selling the same patterns at all. So if people are interested in learning to crochet, it's nice that there's multiple options out there to choose from as well. So I liked that point.
Yes. I'm so glad that that point was received because I think that's when you evolve in your business owner journey. At the beginning, it's like, there's competitors and how can I ever be good enough? And the market is saturated. And, you know, we all went through that whole laundry list in our heads. And then you get to a certain point where you are realizing how culture and art and then business, they all kind of go together. So somebody is getting your customers the idea to buy your thing. And if other people are doing the legwork for you of telling those customers this is a good idea, fantastic. Let's like do teamwork and build the market as a bigger addressable market for us all. So that's how, you know, even with this Gold City Ventures business, if more people are telling people, hey, like, let's sell on Etsy, all that stuff, like, yeah, there's going to be more listeners to this podcast, you know? It's not all – eventually they'll find us. So that's where the – let's. It's not happening automatically, though. Like, how do you take advantage of a competitor going on Shark Tank? You need to do stuff to actually do that. So if you think of it all like, you know, a giant spider web, you got to – or net. You got to put out the net to capture them. So Sasha just told us how the Woobles is doing it. The Woobles are sending Facebook ads. So they're spending a little paid marketing, and they are retargeting to their audience. To her. And you know what? You might be someone that's good for that. You have kids around the age who might be gifting. You also do crafty crocheting yourself. Like, sounds like they got that right.
Now, the I'm looking for the alternative. That I'm like, this isn't exactly what I'm looking for. So then I search, and then
someone else
comes up, and they just paid for you to close the deal. They're paying. That's free advertising for you.
Exactly. So, now, Kennedy, you are a few steps ahead, I think, of the average seller in that you did make the blog, and you have your own separate business that you have started to grow off Etsy. Because for anyone else that isn't off Etsy yet, like when the searching is happening, definitely Etsy is showing up in the search results now. And that's why it's so important to make sure you're optimizing for Google search and stuff with your SEO game. But you have a bigger chance because you're taking up bigger real estate on the page on Google search by having your own platform. Now, it's really hard to compete with someone that's running ads because they can't afford to spend a lot of money. And did you watch the Shark Tank episode with them? I didn't watch it. Do you know if they got investment from any of the sharks?
I can't remember. I feel like I'm sure I've seen clips of it from forever ago when they went on there, but I can't remember if that they actually got investment from them or not.
Okay. Because, yeah, when someone has money to pump into the ads at the beginning, that's definitely a huge advantage. You can start really small. And even, you know, in our business, we're typically spending a couple thousand a month. We're not spending like, that's not that much. Not like a massive ads budget or anything like that. But that can be hard to start out. But if you can do what Sasha's saying and you really are working on taking up your real estate on the Google search page, and also you are putting some stuff out there, short form content up on social media, because
and you have YouTube too. Yes. You're doing tutorials on YouTube, so you're hitting all the right spots to get organic traffic.
Yeah. So, Kenan, I feel like you're already this whole Beyond thing. You'd already started to move the spokes away from the hub. Like, you're going down these paths. So we can probably get in a little more detail instead of telling you like, oh, I'd do this. It's like you can probably ask us more questions about, hey, I read this in Beyond. I'm currently already doing this. Like, what would I do differently or get to the next level or whatever? So I think, Sasha, did you have anything you wanted to, like, insights you wanted to share before we let Kennedy ask any questions?
Oh, just what she's doing with, she sent me her blog post. And within her own blog post, what she's done is she's linked to a product to buy. And then she also links to a video tutorial on how to do the thing that you're going to buy. It's like such a great way to... You're keeping the buyer within your ecosystem, but you're pointing them to different areas within your ecosystem. So they're staying there longer. It's key. It's getting them more and more interested to seal the deal. So I think that's really good. That's what I personally do for my own stuff. I'll take a blog post and I'll turn it into a video. And then, or sometimes I'll take a video, turn it into a blog post by taking the transcript and writing it into a blog post via like ChatGPT or something, and then I'll even repurpose it again on somewhere like Medium just so I can get more lines into the pond to catch more fish. And it's you're doing a really good job of keeping people within your ecosystem. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Put out the bait. And I know, Sasha, we talked in a previous episode that you've done this with like realtor templates, but that type of approach of like just putting out your stuff all over the internet, it can help if you're selling digital products, physical products, whatever niche you're in, because people are searching for information, and maybe the first search results, the Woobles, is not what they want. They're going to catch you and see other things and end up there. And also, you know, the Woobles, they might not be in all of these places because maybe they just Facebook ads are working for them. So maybe they're not on Pinterest, or maybe they're not on social. Although, one thing I will say about them, which I know we talked way back. I don't know if you guys remember, we had the handmade seller who does rugs, the Happy Rugs person. She does these little like cute rugs, and she was doing iced coffees and then Dunkin' Donuts, and her did a collaboration where she did a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee little colorful mat, and she does like the crochet hook style thing. Well, the Woobles are now doing Harry Potter collabs where they're like, you can buy Albus Dumbledore and you can buy all that stuff. And they're doing more, I think, more of like the drop style. I actually noticed that because I got caught in some, those work really well with like paid marketing. I got caught in a Valentine's Day rush to buy these sweethearts, you know, those little candies that you can buy your kids, mm-hmm. The hard tart candies back from when we were little. They had like sweethearts and then whatever clothing brand this was collaboration where they were selling like little onesies for babies. And it was the cutest thing ever, but I could not get the onesies in my kid's size. So I just spent like $150 buying like all this stuff for my kids that like didn't even fit because we all were rushing to buy like what was the ad. It was totally crazy, like ridiculous. But anyways, so those, something to put on your radar for like eventually. I think that could be cool, like some type of bigger collab if you want to go even to the next level. Sponsorships, like,
yeah, and you could reach out and the worst they could say is we're not interested, so you know, like, make the first move, don't hesitate.
If it's something that you really love, I mean, Albus, Harry Potter, like any Disney and Harry Potter, it just scares me. It's like, oh, how many pages of documents do I have to read on how to, you know, guidelines. But like, I mean, I feel like Dunkin' Donuts probably wouldn't be as scary, right? Like, who, I don't know who wants a crocheted iced coffee, but you know, something like something a little less intense, maybe.
But a crocheted donut would be so cute. Why not a crocheted donut?
That's a good idea. That's a great, like their pink donut. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and
I would buy that.
I think that's something like my Etsy shop, I have gotten it to the point where it's like steadily getting sales. It's not making a life-changing amount of income yet. But I think something that makes me feel more confident in my brand is having those things like my own website or a YouTube channel or whatever, because if I approach someone, it looks like I'm a company. It doesn't look like I'm just a random Etsy shop that's going to get who knows how many sales. You know what I mean? So I am starting to build up that like street cred, for lack of a better word, even though I still don't have, I don't have a ton of subscribers or followers. Just the fact that there's enough stuff getting put out there, I think makes it all look a little bit more legitimate. So.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, when we're talking about fears, one of the fears is everything is saturated. The other fear is like, I don't look legit enough, or I, you know what I mean? And it's like, hey, you just got to show up as you are at this point. I mean, no one's going to be 100% perfect resume to do anything like this, or you, no one's going to give you permission. You just got to email them, like Sasha said, because they're probably used to working with influencers all the time. And like, think you actually have a track record of sales where they can see how many sales are in your Etsy shop and all that stuff, versus like an influencer with just followers online. They don't know this person out of anywhere.
Yeah.
So I feel like Etsy sellers, you know, matter if they, it, while it's helpful to have other assets, you know, I think that that also shouldn't stop anyone to reaching out. But, you know, we're just, to be clear, like we're kind of talking about fun pie in the sky ideas here versus like concrete, like, okay, let's literally set out that spider web. That's kind of a more tactical discussion. But yeah, I mean, licensing or even just like some type of sponsorship collab, because I can imagine Dunkin' Donuts would have a hard time giving you the licensing to create their products. Whereas like, oh, you want to make a video of you making a donut? Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. And then you could be like, hey, like this video got 40,000 views, like there's demand, and then that will probably help them be more interested. But you know, I bet we could have sellers on that do licensing all the time. I mean, I had a friend that did ornaments for I think it was University of Washington. Like she did ornaments to sell on Etsy, and she got that licensing. So there's sellers that do go through the proper channels, get the licensing, and go about, you know, making those type of collaborations, like not just with companies, with like colleges and things like that.
That's pretty cool.
I'm sure sororities is a big one too. But anywho, okay, so back on, Kennedy, what are your questions?
So sort of on the track that we were just talking about, where I have like my own website with my blog and a YouTube channel, and I also want to start focusing on Pinterest. Those are all pretty new things, like within this year that I'm sort of, I feel like I think about things for a long time and then I hit a point where I'm like, okay, I like unlocked the part of my brain that is ready to actually try to do this thing now. But as far as having this new idea of getting a blog, a YouTube, and a Pinterest to work together, to flow into each other, I'm wondering if you guys have opinions about, is it better to do baby steps on all of those all at the same time? Or should I grow my YouTube and then focus on my blog and then start using Pinterest? You know, like, or should I be making a YouTube channel, making a blog post, making a Pinterest pin about it, and doing that over time instead of doing it individually.
So the first thing, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions and then give you the answer. Okay. Tell me more about the crochet community and your average buyer. What are they doing? Are they, and like, if you, you seem like you're into this. I mean, for some reason you got into this really much to the point that you wanted to sell it. Like, where are you getting your inspiration? Where are you hanging out? Are you Googling things? Are you YouTubing things?
When I'm looking for ideas or a pattern, like if I'm making something that I'm not going to design myself, I search on Pinterest, Etsy, or Google for patterns. And then I either come across a pattern I need to buy or a pattern in the form of a blog post, a free pattern with ads on it. And then in addition to that, if I need to learn how to do something, I'll watch a YouTube video. Like if it's a stitch I don't know or something like that. Some people don't read crochet patterns, so that's why the videos are really helpful because they can follow along the video. I prefer to just read a crochet pattern, but if there's something I'm not understanding, then I'll go to YouTube for it. So that's sort of why I landed on doing like Pinterest, YouTube, and a blog instead of trying to do TikTok and Instagram, because there is also a whole group of people who learn from Reels and TikToks, but I'm not that person, and I feel really overwhelmed trying to like provide to that person when I don't get use out of those. So that's sort of why I landed on those three things, is because that as a crocheter, those are the places that I end up being most of the time.
And do you think your buyers are you, or are your buyers them? Because we're talking about your kits and not your patterns, right? Or you're like, well, I guess you could try to sell all of them. But if you were like, oh, my primary goal is to sell more kits, then where do they hang out?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I guess I don't really know the answer. And that's what I need to learn more about. I am kind of in the back of my mind trying to set my business up in a way that if I get to the point where I don't want to be physically shipping products anymore, I'll have enough out there that I can keep going on my patterns and my tutorials and those types of things. So even though I'm not saying like I don't want to ship kits anymore, I just know that maybe at some point in life I'm going to want to just have my business online instead of physical. But as far as kits go, I'm not sure where those people are hanging out, and that's what I need to learn more about for sure.
Sasha, do you have any thoughts on this? Just you actually having crocheted?
Yeah. Well, I learned how to crochet, at a place. I made my friend go with me. It was Guy. We went to go learn how to crochet because his sister was having a baby, and I was like, you have to crochet or something. That would be the cutest present ever, the baby gift. So we actually went to an in-person class, and then I was going to YouTube a lot to watch because I myself don't know how to read a crochet pattern, but I can read a knitting pattern. But I would be interested in the way that you can draw people into you and know, like, and trust you about their go-to place for crochet could be you teach people how to read a crochet pattern could be one of your videos. One of your own crochet patterns. Yeah, yeah. So then they're like, oh, that's fun. Then you, of course, point them to your product. And then if you yourself want to drive traffic to your content, to your blog to read, then, yeah, you can take that video and you can turn it into a video pin on Pinterest where you're crocheting or you're talking or something. And then you could point them to the YouTube channel and then make another one to point them to your blog. I would think about how to repurpose your content, especially the video stuff, to put on social media just to drive people to where you feel comfortable giving them the content. So that's what I would do, is I would take the video content and repurpose it. And then the way that I work personally is I don't like to burn out. So I'll do, 10 or 20 Pinterest pins at once. And then I'm like, okay, that's all I'm doing this month. And then I'll do it the next month based on my existing content. Cause it takes like months for a Pinterest pin to take off in a lot of circumstances. Like it takes 9 months for my pins to take off, but video, I can post a video and then people subscribe to me. And I draw most of the people that came to my videos were either through organic search. I know how to optimize for YouTube search. And also I'll send people from my own email list. I'll say, I have a free training on my YouTube channel. Go check it out and subscribe so you get notifications. And so For me, video, I get instant engagement, and that's mm-hmm. where I've been able to grow and monetize my YouTube channel just by pointing people there. And, you know, you could point people on your Etsy. You could say, for a tutorial of how to use this product, go here, and it's on your YouTube channel. Yeah. And I have tutorials of how to use my Canva templates in my Etsy shop. So I feel like you probably enjoy doing video, and if you enjoy it, that's the most important thing. And just think about how to repurpose it for those places you're not comfortable with, to drive them mm-hmm. to the place that you're comfortable delivering information. Yeah. So I'm the same way. I'm not sitting there on Instagram going, hey guys, want to learn more about this awesome thing? Like, that's not me. I could fake it till I make it, but it wouldn't feel authentic. So I'm more on my YouTube channel authentic, because I like to help people mm-hmm. learn. And so that's where I feel like I'm delivering the most authentic version of myself, is yeah. YouTube.
Yeah. So you think, I do like that idea. That's what I'm trying to like learn more about, is if I put all this effort into making a video tutorial, I already came up with all that information. Now I can make it a blog post, and then I can put it, you know, like you said, repurpose that content. I am trying to figure out like how many places I should be focusing on doing that at one time. Like, where's the threshold of like, now I'm trying too many things and I'm not going to accomplish anything.
Yeah. Well, I throw all my lines into the water, and then if I'm not catching fish, then I just kind mm-hmm. of abandon that until I want to go back to it. Like I did TikTok in April of last year, and I was doing like one thing a month to drive traffic to my Etsy shop. It was just an experiment. And, it brought in hardly any leads. I wasn't on there like, hey, I made this new awesome printable, you know? And so I don't know if it was like me not being on there. I was really just showing the products. It was more like a Pinterest video pin. And so I didn't get a ton of engagement from that for that purpose. So I said, okay, I'm not going to focus on this right now. And that's when I started to focus on my YouTube channel, and that started to grow. So I just did more of that over and over mm-hmm. again, and that's grown. So now that I have all this content, I could shift focus. Okay, I'm going to give TikTok a try again for this. I've had more luck with Instagram for my business-to-business stuff, because I think a lot of people are going to Instagram in my age demographic mm-hmm. seeking educational or learning information to do different like side hustle stuff. So it's yeah. just experimentation. And there is no reason to feel bad if that failed. Like when TikTok didn't work out for me promoting my digital products, I was like, meh, I don't care. I get a lot of traffic from mm-hmm. Pinterest. I'm getting a lot of traffic from YouTube. My email list is thriving. I'm not sad about it. I was just experimenting.
Yeah.
But TikTok's matured a lot in that time because it grows so fast. So I think that now it would be a lot easier to do that more successfully for the mm-hmm. stuff that I do. So it's just experimentation. So you can't be afraid to give it a try for like mm-hmm. 30 days or a week or whatever, create the content, and then just, you have to track the data. That's the most important yeah. part, is you have to track the data.
Yeah. And I like to think of it like a giant upside down triangle. And that's the funnel, where like top of funnel, you're going really wide mm-hmm. and you're just trying to capture interest of people, almost interest that has nothing to do with your products or you. Because if you're not going to build yourself as a personal brand, which I think you could be a personal brand, because I told you this last time, I really enjoyed talking with you. I think you have a great video setup here. Your video setup is way better than my video setup. And I think you could be someone that people would be interested in following. That being said, some people have no interest in that. You, at the top of the funnel, it's not really about you. They don't know to Google you. And often they don't even know to Google crochet kits at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about very broad. They're like, just being interested in things that are aesthetic, that look pretty, or activities, or crafting, or like, they're just very general, kind of way zoomed out, way back processes. And then the bottom of the triangle, the very, very tip, is like ready to buy a crochet kit because they realize that's their solution, and they realize you and this product is their solution. So depending on what type, where we are in this upside down triangle, like different things apply. And you would make different decisions on social media. Mm-hmm. So if you're kind of like putting very, very product you specific things on TikTok, that's not obviously going to work because they have no idea who you are and they haven't decided on your particular product. But if you're doing more like lifestyle pieces, like, look at this really cute thing I did, blah, 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 blah. Or if you're trying to competitor capture, like if people are literally searching Woobles, I know this sounds kind of nuts to review your competitor, This is not okay in the digital product space, but you know, in your space, it might be, maybe if it's part of being part of the community, like, oh, look at this is so cool. Like I also do this or whatever. Yeah. I mean, there, you could take advantage of a giant tidal wave that's happening right now with the paid marketing and the Woobles and all that. I mean, you could even have a blog post that's talking about them or, you know, alternatives to Woobles or whatever and put yours. You obviously need to disclose that you sell this too and here's yours. Like, you can't just be make a really sketchy article.
Yeah.
Is, you know, pointing to your own business. And you, for anyone, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to talk about the ethics or the legality regarding doing this. But, you know, all I'm trying to say is that think of the culture. Think of what people are searching for from a very zoomed out perspective and then use that to cater whatever content you're making for them. Because right now you have a traffic problem and you have a leads problem. Mm-hmm. Your product is really good and the quality is really good. You just, right now, you, if you want to grow a bigger business, you got to start bringing more leads, and you're not Etsy who's paying all this money and already has all these customers when you're selling off Etsy. So you got to take advantage of giant traffic flows. I bet crochet kits for beginners, creating content that's specifically for people that decided that was their solution, that's awesome, but where that's a little further down in the triangle. So something that you can do, but you're not going to get like a giant business out of that, right, or, you know, bringing more demand to the business, trying to capture more people. So anyways, I know I'm getting a little rambly here, but that's how I like to think of it.
Yeah, that's a really good visual. And I think I have spent so much time like getting my product to where I want it to be. And I'm still sort of finishing up the last little bits of like in-depth product design. But I do think, like you said, it makes sense after that to then sort of zoom out and be like, okay, now let's just get people interested, because like you said, not everyone's going to even think to know that this is what they want. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, I know we talked. I wonder if you had confirmed this since we last chatted. So remember I was telling you that Google Gemini, which is the ChatGPT competitor, was saying that your crochet kits are the perfect gift if someone is going through a life transition, like they're retiring or they're going through some medical thing and they're spending a lot more time at home. Or it said they were good gifts for children that are around 8, I guess, like grandkids around 8. And I forget what other one they mentioned, but I'm just curious if you thought any more about those archetypes, if they do match your buyers, and if creating content specifically for those people. Like, for example, the best 10 retirement gifts you can give a woman. Like, think about on Etsy, people search female retirement gift or whatever. What you would use that same thought to create content, whether it's, you know, on a blog or whether it's on TikTok or whatever. And this is just searchable content that pops up in someone's feed anytime they're just looking for something, like a roundup type thing.
Yeah, I haven't looked into those, like, bullet points that we talked about before. And again, I might have said this last time, I can't remember for sure, but with all of my customers still being on Etsy, because I will clarify that I have my own website, I have a Shopify store and a blog, but I'm not making sales there. All of my sales are still coming in on Etsy. I don't really know how to gather information from those people. Like, unless they leave a review saying, I bought this for my grandma who's retiring, I don't know how to figure that out. You know what I mean? To, like, check in on those things. I will say, though,
I'll definitely add this to Beyond. I'll add how I did it with Gemini to Beyond. Because Gemini, you had to be kind of sketchy. Like, it wouldn't directly just scrape Etsy reviews. I had to, like, kind of dance around a bush to get it to actually do this. But that could be a good thing, because then it could like match. So, for example, you may not have enough reviews, but maybe like the Woobles has a review page. Yeah. And you can look and see what people are saying. Because, you know, people, they love, I don't want to say bragging, but they love bragging about like, I bought this for my grandkid and they loved it, or like whatever. You know, usually when you're the giver of the gift, you typically like to share or put the picture up or whatever. Yeah. So you could, someone who has a much, your biggest competitor actually may have more reviews than you and may actually have more insights into who's buying.
Yeah, I will say after one of your recent podcast episodes was something, I think it was about Etsy trends, a trend report they put out, and you were breaking it down and you mentioned that searching gifts for teenagers was like a big, was sort of starting to trend. And leading up to Easter, I copied a couple of my listings, and instead of saying crochet kit, eco-friendly crochet kit, I said Easter basket for teenage girls, gifts for teenage girls, and those did start selling. And so I was really excited about that because I feel like that was the first time ever that I, like, thought outside of the box, which actually you did the research for me, but I like tried something outside of the box and it actually caught on. So that sort of inspired me a little more, you know, I should just make a listing that's a retirement gift. The SEO is based around retirement gifts and just see how it does. I think that at first I didn't do a ton of that because I started trying things that I came up with and they weren't working. And then I was like, well, I'm spending money on these listings and they're just like clogging up my shop and not doing anything. But it was exciting to try some SEO that was different than what I usually do and have it catch on. So.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that was a good use of time. So thank you for listening.
It was.
And like, I would say my advice to you as now Sasha and I, who are trying to coach people and beyond, you can absolutely clog up your Etsy listings, like you mentioned, with and charge yourself. But we're trying to say, test it outside of Etsy too, because it's free and very quick to test it on TikTok or Instagram.
Yeah.
A blog is a little more work, but you could see, you could look up, and there's ways in the blogging for profit, blogging kind of section of Beyond. We talk about ways that I understand keyword search volume before I make a blog post. But, you know, you could understand like retirement gifts. You could even, if you're like, hey, I don't want to do a blog. I mean, I know you have a blog, but someone listening, are there other bloggers that have a roundup of retirement gifts and, you know, stuff's getting old and not selling anymore? And you could be like, hey, my stuff like actually is selling for this. I bet you'll get a better commission and look how cute it is. And, you know, sometimes as a blogger, I get a lot of those inbound. Sometimes I delete them, but every once in a while, I at least read them and I get the ideas. And if something was pretty good, I'd consider it depending on what my workload looked like. You know, some of these things are more unlikely to happen or likely to happen, but I would encourage you, because you're trying to sell off Etsy, to try to experiment not on Etsy, because you know, putting up the listing images, rewriting the stuff, you could absolutely do that, and you Etsy has the traffic and you could test it that way, but you could also test it with just like short form content in these other ways.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you have an affiliate program for your Shopify yet?
No, I don't. And I was actually, I just made a note to myself to ask you guys about me getting affiliate links from some other places too. I was hoping to sign up for like affiliate links for Etsy so that when I start doing these blog posts and these roundups, I can support other Etsy sellers. Like I'm an eco-friendly company. I want to try avoid linking to like Amazon if I can help it, you know? And so I tried to sign up to be able to be an Etsy affiliate, and for whatever reason, my request was denied. So I didn't know if you guys had any information or tips about that too. But no, I don't have any sort of affiliate program for my Shopify.
Well, you should definitely think about signing up for that, because then, like Julie was saying, you could reach out to people who, you know, blog about crocheting. And if you say to, if you are trying to get them to sign up as an affiliate for your Etsy thing, they may say what you just said. I was denied. I don't know why. But if you have your own affiliate program for your Shopify, you're like, here's a link to my affiliate program. I'll get you signed up today. And they're like, wow, this is so easy. I'm so excited to promote your stuff. You know, so that's definitely something you should do.
Yeah. I mean, Shopify has an app. So we could, now that we're thinking, Sasha, I'm so glad we should note this down, because we can add this to the Shopify module. But Shopify has an app. And I even see this working with the TikTok stuff and Instagram. Like, let's say that you're allergic to the idea of creating short form video. Like, I think you can do it, but if you're like, oh, I don't want to do it. Well, maybe there's somebody else that does it. And now you're DMing them and you're like, oh, hey, I saw this. Like, I would love for you to, do you want to test out my thing? Like, look at it. I can, you know, I'm having an affiliate program I'm trying to promote. I'm just getting started or whatever. People, again, like I'm saying, as someone that does something like this, sometimes I get tons of stuff inbound. So I don't want anyone to get discouraged. It's truly a numbers game. You might message 50 people and like two of them agree to do it. And then one of them takes your product and doesn't post. Like, this is truly a numbers game. But, you know, you'll get better at doing it over time. And these are just different ideas of ways you can get other people to push your stuff and drive traffic to your own business. Because right now, like you said, I don't think you're making sales on your shop because the blog looks great. The content looks good. It's just you don't have enough people looking at
it. The traffic, Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm not in the crochet niche, but if you had a affiliate program for your crochet kits, then people who just are, you know, they like to recommend gifts to people, mm-hmm. you know, lifestyle blogs, that's a great thing. Like mommy bloggers would promote that. So you would have the ability to have so many people promote your product, even influencers or whatever on yeah. Instagram. Mommy blogger influencers could promote your kit. And if they have an affiliate, can get that affiliate earnings from promoting it, they are way more likely to care. So,
yeah.
So that's I don't spend any money on ads for my B2B stuff. I depend 100% on organic traffic and affiliates. And I feel lucky that I've been able to make that happen. But yeah, like Julie said, you could reach out to 100 people and two will say yes. And you're like, yes, I got two people. And then one of them starts promoting it. And, but that person could be huge. You never know. So it's worth it to definitely just start that affiliate program and then just start reaching out to people. Because if they can make money off your products, they'll be excited to promote them.
Yeah. And then it's like I said, culture and art inform sales, because other people that do affiliate marketing will be looking for gift roundup ideas because they're like, hey, I need to put my Easter gift guide, or I need to put my Easter basket gift guide, or I need to put my whatever. And then they're searching on TikTok, and then they see this other creator that included your product in a roundup. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, that's a good idea. And then they include it in their roundup. And next thing you know, there's like 12 roundups all with your thing. It's like, like that one person end up getting multiplied by 12 because somebody else was searching. So it's tough. Like when we were talking earlier about the strategy templates and beyond, everyone we talked with were like, I just don't want to do the social, and they skipped it. But then it's like, oh, there's so much opportunity there. And the truth is, I feel the same way. Like, I don't totally want to do it either. But if you want to do it, like, there's huge opportunity. Or like Sasha says, partnering with someone else that does.
Yeah.
And getting in the details. So we just added like 45 video ideas. So check that out when you get a chance, because coming up with what are good ways to promote a physical product on TikTok or Instagram that is more high level and not like, here's my product, because you know, like for example, in the retirement gift, I'm looking for a roundup because I only have 5 minutes and I'm trying to get as many ideas as possible. I'm not even ready to like listen to someone talk about one thing. That's why I want it in a roundup style. So that's why I'm mentioning you got to kind of zoom out and like see. So if we haven't added roundups, I'll make sure we add roundups to that examples list as well.
Another thing I have been like thinking about doing, which right now I feel like my biggest issue is like time management, which is a whole other conversation we could have. But like in the Beyond program, you have a 30-day social media challenge that's like 30 days of ideas of what you should post. And for someone like me who's like, oh, like I just can't do the Instagram thing, I'm like, well, I'll just take that and I'll make those blog posts, or I'll make them YouTube videos, or whatever, you know, like... I think it helps to sort of minimize like the burden of trying to figure everything out. There's resources out there that are like, here's random ideas you could talk about, and you can do that wherever you want to do it. It doesn't have to just be your Instagram or your TikTok if, like you said, you're allergic to those at the moment.
Yeah, we'll have to cut. So the social media one is going to kick off in May. If we do it on blogging, just me being the data-driven person, I'm like, oh, I'd probably have everyone do it a little bit differently. Like, I would have, because the long-tail keywords for blogging might be a little different, and depending on the person, it might be different. Like, for example, we had this woman selling golf printables on last episode, and when I searched her long-tail keywords for blogging, there actually, like, weren't any. Because it's not, like, just what are the chances that like tons and tons of people happen to be looking for a golf printable? Like it's not a massive niche. So if she wanted to drive lots of customers to a blog to sell off Etsy, that's just not going to work. She can't be blogging about that. Mm-hmm. And she can't be blogging specifically about her printables because there's just not enough people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going on a tangent here, but like, I guess what I'm saying is like, when I do that challenge, Sasha and I will zoom out a little bit and we'll like do it a little different for the blog, but that's a good point. We should offer other social media avenues if people aren't interested in that one. But to be clear, if anyone's listening, the social media piece is just one part of it. There's like there's lots going on.
Yeah.
Here. I was just curious, what did you think of the e-com, like selling with TikTok Shop or Stan Store or like any of this e-com? Like or Shopify. You already sell on Shopify, obviously. Mm-hmm. But did you have any interest in doing that, or like selling with Meta, like the native Meta apps?
I didn't like look into those sections super deep. So far, I like started reading the sections. Like, I know I want to do Pinterest, so I started looking at the Pinterest section. And those types of things are the email list and Shopify and blogging and those things. I do have interest in, like, I just know multiple revenue streams is a smart way to do things. So I do have interest if there's another place that I can be selling products, especially my digital ones, and just put them up there and it makes money from another place. I do have interest in those. I get my like issue, like I just said, is time management. I have a limited amount of time I'm spending on this business or that I can spend on this business. And I need to figure out, like I struggle to figure out what is the most important thing to work on in that limited amount of time. So I haven't dug into those yet, but I do have interest in them.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to think of where we put that, Sasha, because I think we have it too soon. Because everyone we talked with, like, they're just not ready to do that yet. So we'll have to see. But then there's some things that everyone was pushing off, like the competitor analysis on social, that I'm like, no, we definitely have to have people do this.
Yeah.
So I need, like I was saying with the real estate, I need to have that take up more real estate in the course. Because
I think for me, the first thing that I would do is focus on getting an email list created if I had nothing. So you're a little bit ahead of the other handmade seller. She didn't have, it seemed like, an email list where she's getting opt-ins and just trying to nurture a list. And I think that that's important before, if you don't feel like doing social media. Some people want to just be on camera all day and they're like, I'm here for it. I don't care about email marketing. But even then, those people are capturing emails to give them a free guide or a free thing or whatever. So I think, I don't know, it doesn't sound like you've really started an email list and tried to capture leads from your Etsy shop or your YouTube channel and stuff like that. I think that could help you to drive more traffic to your places.
I do have, I have an email list where I'm collecting from my Etsy shop, and then I have opt-ins on my Shopify, and I think I have like 100 subscribers or something on my email list. And that is on my list of like, this is something important that you need to learn, because I hear everywhere that email lists are the most lucrative form of advertising. So that's just another thing on that list of like, I want to know what I'm doing, but I haven't taken the time to dive into that specific section yet.
Yeah. And I totally agree with that. I mean, that's how you're going to, even 100 subscribers is a lot you can do with that, but you have a traffic problem still. Like, you don't have enough eyeballs. So, you know, if you just have your customers, you could try to collect, and even if 100% of all your customers from Etsy take the opt-in and sign up for your email list, it's still not like enough to build a giant business off of there. Like, you need to bring the leads. So for me, I guess like the correct thing is more like, what, there's the easy things that you could do, but then there's like, well, what do you physically want to do? And like, what sounds fun to you? Because I know we talked about how you're freelancing or working for another business owner, and that's really fun. For me, like, I love talking to other entrepreneurs, hence collaborating with Sasha, hence like meeting you and having you on the podcast and doing this type of thing. Part of me is like, well, could you just be the best networker in this space? Like, can you go and get to know like tons of other crafty people, creators about craft, all this stuff? Because like Sasha mentioned, if you wanted to go the affiliate route, and instead of you having to drive traffic, you're having other people help push your products, that's just, you just talk to people. Because like I said, you know, if you're pitching 50 people and only one person ultimately works out, if they happen to know who you are in person, it's probably going to be more like 5 people are going to answer you.
Yeah.
So you can really like help that numbers if you get to know people. Or like to Sasha was saying, how much in the learn how to crochet world, you could really look into how much of it is a physical in-person game. And if you start in Ohio and your local area and figure out like, who are these people teaching people to crochet locally? And, you know, do they offer, what is their offering? Now, it might be kind of thing that might be like, oh, this is a good idea. I'm just going to offer kits to people to go or whatever. Or maybe you're like, hey, like, do you have a storefront? Like, you want to sell 5 of my kits or whatever to, or if you want me to ship kits out, you can do like, I don't know, employers or like, there's ways you can turn this into like an in-person game. So the reason I'm bringing up this example is to say that like, I really like talking to people and I like meeting cool entrepreneurs to do cool things. So whenever I am trying to decide what to do next in business, I tend to pick something that I like because I'm going to try harder at it and I'm just going to want to win that way. Whereas other people want to win on other ways. But I don't know if you've considered any of those things, but those could be, these are all avenues you could explore, but like you just have to look at who you are as a person and like what you want to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, I think I do know, like I said, like I've spent so much time establishing my product and my business. I know now that the issue is a traffic issue and it is just hard. Like there's 100 different ways I could be working on that. And like you said, you just have to sort of like look inward and then test things out and figure out what works. So I personally, I'm like a homebody and I love being home, doing my work from home job and then my business all day. So like going out and figuring out how to like network with people sounds overwhelming to me, but sometimes the harder thing is the right thing to do. So you don't always know.
And that may not be the right way. Like for you, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that you don't want to do the short form video because it seems like you have a very interesting life and you have the aesthetic that people would want to follow. Like, for example, do you know how people post, here's my day? Like your day could be like helping this or whatever the ornament woman is, like helping her with this. People are like, oh, what an interesting job this person has. And then, you know, you're doing a podcast with us about this. And then you're going to go ship, come with me while I pack 5 crochet kits for whatever. And then you attract people who are like, oh, like, look at this woman. She has such a cool life. People that love like crafty and aesthetics and eco-friendly and, you know, your ideal customer, like what your life kind of is cool. And they might think it's interesting. So, you know, you don't have to put your face on it. It could be like hands. It could be, you know, whatever, or you could put your face if you don't care, but whatever. But to me, I feel like a lot of us, we shy away too much from the short form when like actually we have interesting things people would want to know. That it's not like, you know, you don't have to overshare. Like when people are telling everyone their whole life story and dancing to it, it's like, that's not going to maybe help you sell crochet kits. It's just going to get followers. Like you need people to be interested in what you're selling too. So it's a whole different angle.
I don't know if, obviously, you guys are at totally different business points in business than I am, but I would be interested to know just how you manage your time or schedule your time, because for me, like, it's not that I don't want to make reels and TikToks because I don't want to be on a reel or TikTok. It's more like I only have so many hours in the day to do these things, and those, I feel like I already waste all my time watching reels and TikToks, so I'm like already overwhelmed by it, and I'm like, it just doesn't feel like I don't know how to work that into my time, I guess. Like, I'm like, how do I do all the things and also record the things and then edit a video about doing those things if I don't even have the time to do the things to begin with? So I would be interested to hear how you guys manage your time and sort of break that up and allocate things to yourself to make sure you're doing all those things you want to do.
Well, I write everything down and I keep spreadsheets. And also I used to be a corporate accountant and I manage teams of like 20, 30 people. So what I do, and I would ask others to do, is I'd say, I want you to do this task and I want you to time yourself doing it. Because then if you have an actual number of how long it takes you to do this thing, then you can always improve upon that and make it a shorter amount of time. So it used to take me, for example, like 4 hours to write a blog post. But now with the amazing AI technology that we have, I can write a blog post in an hour or less. And it's amazing. So I'm like, now in that 4 hour period it took me before, I can do 4 of the same thing. Same thing with video. I'll say, today's video day. I'm making YouTube videos. I write an outline in a Google Doc and I have it on my other monitor. I have 2 monitors and I write down outlines for videos and it's just one after the other. I make them. And then that's what I do that day. And then I just like to structure my day of projects and every day is a different project. And if I have 4 hours of time, I go to my understanding of how long it takes me to do a certain task. And I'm like, I could do 6 of this, 4 of that. What do I feel like doing? But this is my constraint, the time, and this is what I need to do. And this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And you obviously have obligations that are something you have to do, but like writing a blog post is a want to do. And so, you know, you have to say also what is going to be the thing that brings me what I need, which is traffic. So what is going to be the best ROI? Is it going to be doing video or is it going to be doing a blog post? And also just know that you can take a video you've done, download the transcript, run it through AI and have a blog post. You don't yeah. have to write the blog post anymore. You can just sit there and take the transcript and just take it right. and turn it into that written form of the video. So mm-hmm. you have to think, how can I do this in a way that would be the easiest way to complete this task, and how long does it take me to do? That's just how mm-hmm. I do it. I like to use all the tools. I know that for video editing, I don't want to do it. My husband's really quick at it. He's a lot faster than me. So if you have someone in your life that you can outsource mm-hmm. to, or someone you pay, just know that that's always an option. And don't be afraid to be like, I'm assigning this to you, you're doing it, or I'm going to allocate money from my business to do this thing because I know it needs to be done. The ROI is going to be, it brings me more customers or something. Mm-hmm. So that's just what I do with my time. I like to make sure I'm making, and I mean, I'm an accountant at heart. So that's why I think I've never lost money with this business, because I'm always hyper aware of yeah. what I need to make. How do I get there? What are the ways that I can do it the best based on my experiences and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's and awesome. I agree with that. I add, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but I spend an exorbitant amount of money, like tens of thousands of dollars every month outsourcing both in my business and my home. So, and I have every single business I have has business partners. Like this new venture, Sasha's a business partner here. So I very rarely go it alone. Mm-hmm. And part of it is, like I said before, I know myself and I love chit-chatting with people. Like I don't think I would do it if it was by myself, because it's just not fun to me. Mm-hmm. I need to talk with people and like collaborate and stuff. But also I'm just limited with my life situation. I have two little kids. Like I have something going on where I didn't want one of my kids to be in daycare because she had some medical stuff going on. So mm-hmm. yeah, like I don't have very much free time at all. So like, I'm just kind of going wide with the amount of people and like trying to be in spaces where there are talented people to attract talented people to collaborate with me.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I go about the vibe and get a lot more things done. And then I'm the opposite of cheap when it comes to spending on outsourcing. And we've spent so much money that went nowhere. Like the experiments, I would be more devastated losing my time than mm-hmm. I would be losing my money right now. Like if I spent a couple hours and it didn't go anywhere, I'd be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
At the beginning I did lose my time, but now that we have a budget, I'm just used to kind of like burning money on various things that don't end up working out. And then some things really do work out, and it's kind of like Pareto principle there. So I would say if you are not spending on people, help, whatever. And with the video content stuff, that is hard to outsource. There's a lot for us. Like, I don't want to be a personal brand. I have a lot. I don't think my life is like interesting. I'm not like a maker. I don't have good aesthetics or anything like that. That's why I'm saying like for you, I'm like, oh, you have something that would be interesting to people. And your ideal buyer would find your life interesting, but you can pay people. So I mentioned this in another episode, but I started to get to know realtors and their space, and they are hiring people to produce their open house videos, and those people do really nice stuff. So, you know, this might not be a thing yet where like Etsy sellers are having video producers create mm-hmm. their products, but like other professionals have these relationships with people. And so I would like go local, hyper local, look in Ohio and find realtors first and find the realtor with the best Instagram going, and then DM them and see like, hey, who's doing your mm-hmm. who's doing your video? And then, you know, get a quote from that person and say, can you come to my house and film me making crocheting? And then like, here's three of my products or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or you could do like UGC. I think I mentioned this before, but there's this woman, Kate Creative Co. She does a lot of digital products, but we've worked with her before. And there might be either her or the equivalent of someone like her could do your physical products. And what's great about her, like her lighting is so amazing. She could be like a hand model, you know, like I don't know what's going on with my fingers. Like if I remember to like clip my nails, or I'm just not like a nails person. And it just stresses me out, the thought of like having to have good hands in a video. So like if I could give that to somebody else and they're opening my products and stuff, oh like fantastic. So yeah, if you got a budget and you have a full-time job, then figure out how you could spend that to help you
mm-hmm.
get your time back.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you.
Cool. But in terms of being efficient with time, this podcast went 30 minutes over. So clearly, we shouldn't be answering questions on time management. But Kennedy, thank you so much for, again, like donating your valuable time to help us improve the Beyond product. Because we're, like we said, we're expanding to the handmade community as well as the digital community that we've always served. So it's just so helpful. And also for coming with us on this podcast, Sasha, thank you for always giving your insights and being so generous with your ideas. A lot of people are afraid to kind of share their ideas, but what I love about Sasha is that she's completely open to ideas, whatever she's doing in her own shop and her own business, and it just really helps people. So thank you, Sasha, for being so generous with your ideas as well.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
For real. Okay. So anyone have a great time, have a great day. And this is another episode of Crickets and Chings. We'll catch you next time. Thanks.